Right here. Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, we had a pretty good time at my house yesterday. We were going, my grandkids were gone 4 days all over the weekend, and they came down 3 times yesterday and came down last night about 6 o'clock and never went home. Spent the night here, so I didn't sleep real good because they love to come in and be in the same room with us. But boy, oh boy, grandchildren, makes it all worth it. The reason why we fight gives us a reason to stand up and push back, and we're living in unbelievable times. Hey, Welk, I promise you this. I'm going to get to Kinsey this morning. Promise you, that's what I'm going to get to. I've been threatening to do that here for about 10 days. So we're going to dive in that real quickly. Jared, I should have given you a heads up. Let's go to the calendar real quick. And while Jared's going to the calendar, Chad, fill us in on what's going on down there in Texas, man. And did I see, Chad, it's going to rain down there? Are we going to come down there and get wet, Chad?
Well, yeah, but I'm installing a pool and a mudslide, so it's going to be all right. We're going to improvise, adapt, and overcome.
Because so, when I was down there a couple of weeks ago, it hadn't rained in 7 months, and now it's raining all the time down there. But we don't want that to scare anybody away, right, Chad?
That's right. Yeah, it's not going to have any effect. And I think it's probably going to rain in the evenings. It's the way it's been doing it, not so much in the daytime. So I just ask everybody have a safe travel. Go ahead and start those. Everybody that plans on attending and those that would like to attend but are unable to, please start your spiritual warfare, your naval barrage of clearing the path for those that are en route now as we speak. They're headed here. So make sure they have safe travels, their vehicles don't break down, everybody's able to take off work, there's plenty of money for them and all that kind of stuff. So if you're coming too, also please remember to bring a chair if you could, and that's about it.
It's going to be a great time, man. It's going to be a great time to see all those guys. Victor, I'm waiting to see you in 9 hours. He's driving from El Paso coming, so there's no excuse why he can't get there. If you are going to come, let Chad know. This thing's going to begin on Friday. What's the tip-off time, Chad?
7 p.m. or whenever you get here.
Whenever you get there, but so I'll be there a little bit early. Okay, let's run down this. Hey, folks, I want you to see something. When you go to our calendar at CoachDaveLive.com, I want to credit Gary Pierce and Jared. They're really the ones that put this together. Jared, just click on Greater Texas Brigade Assembly. And this thing opens up and explains a lot more. There's a lot more details underneath there. So anytime you go to our schedule and you don't want to know what's going on, all you have to do is go to that events page and click on it. So the next event then is September 29th, Regional Huddle, Coach Dave in Bremen, Ohio. If you're in Ohio or you're close to Ohio, this is an event that's going to be worth it as well. You know, we've had a lot of huddles going on in different places, but haven't done a whole lot here as far as bringing guys together. And Lowell's stepped up to the plate. He's got a good place for us down there. Click on that, Jared, and they can see all the details that are going to go on down there. There it is. Well, that's the next one. That's all right. October 3rd, we're in Oskaloosa. I can't even say it. Look at that. Man, there's some good stuff. Oskaloosa, Iowa, October 3rd. That's a Wednesday. Don't miss that one. October 17th. Actually, there's one October 10th I don't have up in there. We're going to go back for a return trip to another part of Iowa. We'll get that up on the screen. That's my fault. I don't have that up there yet. October 17th, we're with Rob Pugh and his brigade up there in Marshfield, Wisconsin. 17th through the 19th, we're going to start out in Marshfield. There's going to be a big crowd. There's going to be hundreds of us there. Come and join us. We're going to start out in Marshfield, and then we're going to end up in Milwaukee on Friday and Saturday, earnestly contending for the faith. Again, you can click on that. There's all kinds of details there. November 3rd, got a regional huddle going in Bethlehem, PA, and we still haven't firmed up that location, although we know what it is. We just have to firm that up. Going to be doing that. Hopefully, I'll get that done for us today. November, is that it? There's probably something else in there. Number 11. Oh, yeah. Going out to Georgia is a regional huddle at Rose Hill Community Church out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So if you're anywhere near Tulsa, 10th and 11th are going to be there. So, again, just go to our website, click on all those things, and they'll tell you what's going on. And I know I've said this before. Listen, help us out here. You warm weather places, January and February. Let's get some stuff going down where it's warm. All right? I'll poke Dale Socia. Maybe he'll get something going for us down in New Orleans. And I'll poke on some other guys. But we want to be able, we want to stay active. The problem we have here in Ohio is the weather is so unpredictable. It's just unpredictable January, February, even into March. And so I'm really hesitant about organizing stuff around here. Although, truth be told, you know, we could have an event going on down in Fort Myers, Florida, and a snowstorm hit up here, and you can't get on an airplane to get down there. So there's all kinds of things that are to be considered. But if you want to have a huddle, you're down, I don't care where you are, you want to have a huddle, you get a hold of us, you let us know. It won't cost you anything. We'll rent the building, we'll provide the food, we will do the, we're just looking for a front man. Somebody says, Coach, I've never done anything like this. I don't have any idea. What, you just be the front man, and we'll help walk you through it, what you need to do. Chad will help get involved here and get these things organized, and good stuff going on. Anybody have anything to add there that I didn't get up on there? That all can be found at CoachDaveLive.com/events. Click on the event, and everything's there. And we'll be updating the stuff as we go. Anybody? Chad, anybody else?
Looking just a comment, to Coach.
Yes.
Yeah, amazing. This is amazing. I mean, just looking at this calendar and it thinking about where we were a year ago.
Yeah.
It's God's great, you know. God is just great.
And Mark, we got some other exciting plans that we're not ready to, you know, release them at this time. But boys, now is the time. Now is the time. If you can't see how the enemy is doubling down, and I'm going to tell you, if you think your local pastor is going to be the guy that's going to pull this together, man, if you're going to wait on somebody else to get it done, what's that we said? I'm looking for someone else. I'm looking for somebody else. Yeah. Well, that somebody else is you. And you got to step out of the boat, and you're going to have to make it happen. And thank God nothing happened on 911 yesterday. But that doesn't mean we're out of the blue on that one, and out in the clear on that one. Because, man, it's just anything could happen at any time. And we don't know which side's we don't know which side's which side. We really, really don't. So bless y'all. Bless y'all. Anybody else jump in there? Anything for the good of the group here before I'm going to dive into Kinsey today. I've been threatening to do it. I'm going to do that here in a minute. I'm going to open your eyes since some stuff's going to probably blow your mind. Anybody?
Dave, I got something.
Okay, Chad.
You didn't put me up to this. Folks, just remember, too, we need your donations.
Yes.
If you can do the $20 a month, I mean, I'm just saying, it just takes money to run this stuff, and you know, your donation also is also, we use this to help other people make some of these huddles and stuff, these regional brigade meetings and stuff. So we help folks. So help us help them. So please don't forget to donate. Please, thank you.
Yeah, Mac, we got a hat. I got these. I have the new visors that are in. They're all red. I got my Protect the Flock with a Glock shirt. Folks, listen, I just say this over and over. If 1,000 people gave $20 a month, it wouldn't be a burden on any of us. You say, oh, that's $20,000. Well, how much do you think George Soros is kicking into the other side? And you tell me this, do you know anybody doing what we're doing? Do you know anybody doing what we're doing? And the answer to it's no, nobody's doing what we're doing. And so $20 a month, holy smokes, the stuff that we could get done, the people that we could turn out. Boots on the ground matter. I'm going to show you that stuff right now. Chad, good lead in. Thanks. See, it's like everybody always thinks everybody else is giving. And they're not. Not everybody's doing it. Come on, $20. I'm trying to break. That's not even that's a dollar a day. Let's see, 5 programs a week, 4 weeks, 5 times 4, new math, 20. A dollar a day. A dollar a show. Come on. Thanks, Chad, for bring that up. Okay, Jared, let's go straight to our stuff because I want to show you something. I want to show you. I'm about pushing back. I'm about pushing back. Jared, as soon as I said that, now I want to change gears on you. Let's go to Romans real quickly. Romans 1. because I just want to get this into your spirit so we can understand what's going on. Do you know that the devil has taken a long, arduous, consistent, patient march through all of our institutions? The devil has. And so many of our institutions, the devil has seized control of most of our churches. Now, what I mean by seize control of most of our churches, he's not necessarily standing in the pulpit, but he has created an atmosphere in the church where we are complicit and compliant and comfortable with sin. He has. We see the average church will not speak out against homosexuality because we've let the salt of the world come into the church, and now we're convinced people are born that way and we're just to love them and all that stuff, and a watering down of the gospel of Jesus, that the devil has taken a long, long march through the institution. I want to show you in Romans 1, verse 17, that we would see, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live for faith." Now watch. "For the wrath of God is currently being revealed." The wrath of God is revealed. It's being revealed right now. What we see going on around us is the wrath of God. What do you mean, the wrath of God? Well, it means this. When your own children get out of control and you've reached the point where you don't think you can do anything about it, you say, "Oh, well, you're going to do what you're going to do." And that's the hand of God being taken off. That is the wrath of God being poured out. Say, "Okay, I ain't going to mess with you. If you're going to do that, you're going to do it." Okay? So the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We hold the truth. How do you hold the truth in unrighteousness? You don't defend it. You don't stand up for it. You don't walk out. Because that which may be known of God is manifest. And it's obvious, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We're the things that are made. We understand there's a God. We understand there's something bigger than us. Even his eternal power and Godhead said that we are without excuses. David Arthur in here? I don't know if he is. Probably. Maybe he's. I hope he's sleeping like a baby. No, hey, David Arthur. Those homos are without excuse.
Absolutely. Romans 1 tells us that.
They're right there without excuse. And why do they have an excuse? Because we excuse them. We give them an excuse. Say, well, yeah, maybe God did make it that way. See, folks, that's the judgment of God. When the righteous are unrighteous, or when we hold the truth and unrighteousness, that's a judgment of God. You see what's going on? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but they came vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. They kept professing themselves to be wise. They became fools and began to follow scientific studies and researchers and college professors and started following all this stuff. And then all these experts come into the church, and the next thing you know, they've taken control of the church. And they've changed the glory of the incorruptible God into image like into corruptible man, into birds, and four-footed beasts, creeping things. So God just said, "That's it, man." So God also gave them over to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. He changed the truth of God into a lie. Worship and serve the creature more than the creator who's blessed forever. For this cause. For what cause? We just read it. We just read the cause. God gave them up to vile affections. For even the woman did change the natural use under that. See, God isn't going to judge America because of homosexuality. Homosexuality is the judgment of God on America. Calm me down here, Coach. Calm down. Okay, we could go on and read all down through there. We know Romans 1. Okay, so I'm gonna show you something. Here's a pushback coming. Jerry, pull that first thing up there. How long are we going to put up with it? How long are the heathen going to rage? How long are the righteous going to allow this stuff to go on? We were doing a little bit of a discussion before we got in there. Larry started an organization called STAB, pushing back against Islam. How long are we going to put up with? How long are we going to put up with the undermining of America through Islam, through multiculturalism? How long? Now, I'm excited to see this. This is why I want to show you, because we're heading someplace today. This is lifenews.com. If you guys don't study, go to this website regularly. Life News. 700 parents show up to school board meeting to demand school stop pushing sex on their kids.
Huh. About time.
Huh. Really? I haven't read the whole article. I skimmed it. I'm not going to go down and read through it, Jared. This is in California, I think. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. Sacramento, California. Sacramento, California. Except, I wonder how many pastors were there. Do you have any idea how easy it would be? The largest minority, call it whatever you want to, largest minority group in America, the church. We're actually the majority, but we're viewed as a minority. What if it, just in your local town, what if you got the Baptist pastor and the, well, you couldn't get the Methodist because they would agree with it, right, I suppose. And what if you just got all the God-fearing people and showed up at the daggone school board and said, listen, you're not going to do this. And all of you folks, you sitting on that school board, we're going to recall you. If you allow this to come in, this crap to come into our school, we are going to recall you. And we're going to put people on the school board that ain't going to allow this to happen. And if you look across America, everywhere you look, the left is defying government. The left is constantly defying government, and the right is constantly obeying government. Am I seeing it differently than that?
Coach?
Yeah.
Hey, 1522, I was reading this yesterday. This ties in with what you're saying. This is Jesus speaking. He said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sins. So you know what? Jesus did his job back in that day, and he expects us to be his representatives today to do exactly what you're saying, to call out sin and evil in our generation.
Do we have a responsibility to the unsaved little children? Do you have a responsibility to your neighbor who isn't a believer? Do you have a not moral obligation to protect his kid from butt sex? I think I do. I think I have an obligation to protect the innocent. Okay?
Absolutely.
I believe that with my whole heart. And so the fact that some guy next door wants to diddle his partner, that's between him and the Lord, and the darkness of his own house. Okay. But when he brings that into the public schools, who's going to rise up against that? The Chamber of Commerce? American Legion? Who's going to rise up against it? It has to be us. It's what this whole Salt and Light Brigade thing's all about. We have got to rise up. We have to do that. Those of us who represent God, Christ. Yes, Mark.
I was going to ask if we individually witnessed a child being sexually
assaulted. Oh, Mark, I thought, my goodness.
If we witnessed it and it wasn't behind the school's doors or wasn't behind the churches and the ministers who are diddling with Johnny, I mean, people are like, I don't have to see it. I don't have to act on it.
How does it doesn't affect me? It doesn't affect me. Right?
It's like, I'm just wondering, you hear people see these stabbings and they film them instead of acting. Are we the people who act? Are we those? Or are we the ones who film it? Are we the ones who film it and put it on Facebook? You know?
Yeah. You know what? You know, Mark, you know, or, you know, I said to my wife the other day, I said it to her a number of times. I was getting heckled at some event I was at. And I walked over to my wife and I looked in her eye and I said, you know, honey, some things are worth 3 days in jail and $500.
Amen. And you know what, Coach? I'd like to take it even further because how you said it was, well, you know, whatever John next door is doing with his roommate. But no, because he's still doing a perversion. It's still he's still an enemy of God, so he still has to be an enemy of us. Amen. So we still have to act on what he's doing just as much as we would, and take this from somebody who has seen what you just described, Mark. Somebody who has actually seen it happen.
Right.
Here's the great lie. Here's the great lie. That my immoral behavior doesn't affect you. That's the great lie.
Right. That's a big lie. Yeah, it is. Because that perversion doesn't stay. That perversion wants to spread.
That's right.
The perversion wants to spread to our children. That's why we have to stop it.
Amen.
And it all fell away when Christian witnesses could be held guilty for not acting.
Some of us need to go to jail, brother. Some of us need to go
to
jail.
Right. That's right. For not acting.
That's right. So, all right. Roger, were you trying to say something? I thought I heard you there. I'm not calling you in if I didn't. Thought I did.
I would say quickly is either you confront this now, if it continues to build, I believe the American people will stand. It'll be too late possibly, but the enemy will be much stronger. And then there is going to be civil war. That's where this is leading, because, you know, the six pack will only put up with it so long.
Man.
Then he'll stand up. Now, he may prevail. He may not.
Yeah.
But that's where it's heading. You know, I mean, across America, they will only put up with this for so long. But the enemy may be too strong at that time. Maybe not. But there will be confrontation. There's no doubt of that.
So Roger, listen. I'm just going to connect the dot. Some of you aren't connecting, okay? That's why $20 a month is crucial from everyone that's watching this show. $20 a month. What if we had $20,000 and then $40,000 and then $60,000? And then we had to go to war and we could pay for 100 people to show up. How are we going to do this, folks? How are we going to do this? Hey, let's do this. Yes.
About that today, you know, and it's like, why isn't the church, you know, if you're not going to fight, why isn't the church helping pay for these legal fees? Why isn't the church helping their communities pay to fight sin? How come the church isn't doing that? Why is it that, you know, you get sued by a homo, you get shut down by whatever. Why isn't the church, the pastor saying, you know, what's going on in your life? Well, I got sued by this homo, this, that. Oh, cool. Here's $2,000. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, right.
The media room, Jared.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
Well, sure. Well,
we need a fellowship, Paul, Jared.
Hey,
Coach Dev, I got a question whenever you got time.
Okay, Devin, just a second. Let me throw this out there. There's some of you folks, listen, there's some of you folks right now who aren't going to church, and you're not giving here. You're not helping to support us here. That's just the truth. Yeah, Devin, come on in.
Okay. Now, I'm new to this show, and somebody invited me to watch you. So what happens if one of these creatures or pedophiles, as you guys are saying, get incarcerated? Are they automatically saved? Like, if they ask Jesus into their life, how does that work? Like, does he turn them down? But in the Bible, it says no man should be turned down, pretty much. Anybody that asks God in their life is being brought in.
Well, Devin, that's a great question, and I'm going to give you a short version of it, then you continue to watch us here, and we're going to show you how to do it. It says that you must be born again, Devin. Born from on high, the Spirit, right? But yes. With the born-again experience comes a transformation in your heart that actually changes your behavior or gives you the ability to change your behavior. And without the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you, you cannot turn from your wicked ways on your own. You can't do it. But the Holy Spirit will empower you to be able to do that. But the idea, see, someone who's not a Christian, who's never received Christ, does not understand this. Now, I don't have time to take time right now to do it, Devin. You just continue to watch and you just continue to listen, and we're gonna open that door for you so that you see what's going on. All right, brother?
Okay.
Coach, well, and I just like
where to you from, where are you from, Devin?
Akron, Ohio.
Awesome. Good to have you. Go ahead, David.
I just like to put out there, Devin, that I am one of them that used to be homosexual, transgender, a pedophile, and so on. And so you're correct in your understanding of the word that there is freedom for anybody.
Yeah, everybody can be saved, Devin, but not everybody says they're saved. You're saved, okay? And that's what one of the things we explain as we go through the show here, okay? Hey, listen, I want to get to this because I've been – so the sexual revolution. What happened to what happened Romans 1 here? Now, let me paint a picture, and then I'm going to play a real quick video from Judith Riesman, who, by the way, is going to come on the show with us. When men came back from the Second World War, 1945, isn't it amazing? About the same time as Everson versus the Board of Education, 1947, Alfred Kinsey, who was a zoologist, did research and wrote a book on sexual behavior in a human male. And Judith Riesman has a wonderful book that I have linked to it. I'm going to show you, exposing Kinsey and the pedophilia and what a freak and what a deviant he was. But that Kinsey revolutionized American sexuality. It happened in our lifetime. Okay, this has happened in our lifetime. So I want to start right now. Just it's about a 7-minute video. The Kinsey video, number one, Jared, if you can see it on there. Kinsey video, number one. This is Judith Riesman explaining with this guy exactly what happened. I hate to play 7-minute videos, but it's worth it. By the way, this may be a two-part teaching. Go ahead, Jared.
I met up with Dr. Judith Riesman, a world historian in the destruction of human sexuality. Dr. Riesman is recognized as an expert witness exposing the sex industry's hidden agenda.
Playboy magazine. Sued you, or you sued Playboy?
No, Playboy sued me for libel and slander.
And what happened?
I won.
She's fought the pornography industry for decades and even won a lawsuit against Playboy.
So how did we get here to where we're at today? Because I don't think pornography has always been such an epidemic cancer within our society like it is today.
No, not at all. We were, up to the end of the Second World War, a conservative Judeo-Christian nation. The turning point for all that was Dr. Alfred Kinsey, his book, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, 1948. He was the father of the sexual revolution, and therefore the father of everything that has come from that. And certainly one of the key things was pornography.
Dr. Alfred Kinsey ushered the destruction of our nation's moral code with his books, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male and Sexual Behavior in the Human Female, known as the Kinsey Reports. The world recognized him as the leading scientific expert on human sexuality. The reports claim that humans were sexual from birth, and that what we deemed as immoral sexual behavior was actually normal, thus making it moral. Once a biologist who studied gall wasp, Kinsey's obsession with sexuality led him to found the Kinsey Institute for Sex Research at Indiana State University. What people to this day are not aware of were the methods he used to collect his data.
And I looked at the graphs that he provided, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34 tables. And I said, wait a minute, that's a two-month-old baby. How does he know a two-month-old baby did or did not have an orgasm? And then table 34, a four-year-old child, 26 orgasms in 24 hours? That's an around-the-clock experiment.
Wow, that's torture.
That's torture, you bet. He also actually employed bona fide pedophiles to do what they did to children for his so-called data.
Kinsey wanted to prove that we are sexual from birth, so it wasn't surprising that he drew his data from pedophiles, rapists, and murderers. They were the perfect sample because obviously a rapist pedophile will have a skewed perspective on sexuality, convincing himself that his victim finds pleasure in the act of being raped. Using a stopwatch and a ledger, they recorded their sexual experiments, systematically molesting thousands of young children under the guise of science. This research was compiled in his books, Sexual Behavior of the Human Male and Sexual Behavior in the Human Female.
He said, I had 196 pre-adolescents under 12, and he broke them up into six categories. And fainting, convulsions, screaming, writhing, striking what he called their partner, that's somebody who's raping them. Okay? And they were trying to get away, but he said they enjoyed it. They definitely enjoyed it.
The research in Kinsey's books were partly based on the collection of data and confessions of a Nazi pedophile during World War II, Dr. Fritz von Balusek, who raped hundreds of children. After the war, the Nazi officer was charged and put on trial for the murder of a 10-year-old girl. They found detailed records of von Balusek's heinous sexual acts with children, revealing his correspondence with Kinsey. Dr. Kinsey, who was fully aware of the Nazi officer's atrocities, warned him in his letters to be careful and encouraged him to continue his research. During the trial, the judge said, "I got the impression that you got to the children in order to impress Kinsey and to deliver him material." To his surprise, Balusek replied, "Kinsey himself asked me for that."
Now that became the foundation for the sex educational structure that fed itself into what we are teaching our children right now as we sit here and speak.
I venture to suggest that what we are putting into our books on sex education today is based almost fully upon philosophic guess.
And of course, it was the foundation of all the changes in our laws, the sodomy laws, the abortion laws, everything else. I mean, he's there. His handprints are on everything that deals with sexuality. From all these people, he was able to tell us, quote, the truth about ourselves, the truth about what we were really doing behind closed doors. And he lied about our fathers, my father's generation and grandfathers. He lied about them because he projected onto them what he himself was doing.
All this,
what he was struggling with.
Yes.
Folks, let me make this clear real quickly. Alfred Kinsey studied pedophiles and pre-adolescent sexual behavior and then projected that onto the average male. He took the statistics from these pedophiles, these perverts, and he created this study saying this is sexual behavior in the human male, and they were all deviants. They were all deviants, and that became the science that we're now seeing today. Kinsey has a school at Indiana University in Bloomington, the Kinsey School of Sexuality, or whatever it's called. Go ahead, Jared.
It didn't take long for Kinsey to deceive the world with his fraudulent data, convincing us that we were sexually repressed and ignorant to the truth.
First, the media drank the Kool-Aid. And they were carefully taken care of by the Kinsey Institute to drink the Kool-Aid. Okay. And then once they drank the Kool-Aid, yeah, the scientists, quote unquote, drank the Kool-Aid. And then the legislators drank the Kool-Aid. And then the lawmakers drank the Kool-Aid. And here we are.
Essentially, what Kinsey did was he changed our belief about ourselves. This change of belief naturally changed our behavior. Soon, Kinsey's ideas permeated everything in our society, from our legal system, reducing the penalty for sexual crimes, and legalizing abortion. The media promoting his philosophy to the educational system, teaching children his views on sexuality. What's more, the pharmaceutical industry capitalized from the sexual revolution. We saw the emergence of STDs, sexual enhancers, and the morning after pill. The divorce rate soared along with sexual crime. As a people, we would never be the same again. Our innocence was lost forever. Ultimately, Kinsey's fraudulent data led to the legalization of pornography.
One of the virgins in college that read Kinsey and believed him was a guy named Hugh Hefner. Okay, yeah. So he's in college.
So Hefner was
an
advocate for
Kinsey's. He reads Kinsey and he says, hey, everybody's been lying to me. They've all been diddling around doing all this stuff, and I have been standing here being a nice guy. Forget it. He says, I will be, and I'm quoting him, Kinsey's pamphleteer. I will be Kinsey's pamphleteer.
Really?
So from there, he began to advocate for changes in law, and he created a magazine called
Playboy.
Playboy, which then he said would reflect what Kinsey had found about human sexuality.
In his fraudulent data.
America was educated by a pedophile whose work was labeled as science. Just as Darwin was the father of legitimizing evolution, Kinsey was the father of legitimizing the sexual revolution and all that's based upon that today.
Sure enough, Hefner was true to his word. Not only did he popularize pornography on a global scale, he also helped to legalize it.
I want a congressional investigation of Kinsey. At some point, we may, in fact, be able to get a public to be aware that they've been raped. The whole nation has been raped. That is what's happened to us. We have been raped, and you cannot expect to survive a rape without a great deal of illness, pain, and trauma. And we've gone through it. Now we've got to find a way to get out of it.
So whatever happened to Kinsey? Well, this glorified psychopath eventually died of a slow and painful disease called orchitis, a lethal infection of the testicles due to years of brutal masochistic masturbation and other vile sexual acts. How ironic. The preacher of sexual liberation died from following his own message. Sadly, his destructive work continues to live on with his lies, and to this day, we continue to fund the Kinsey Institute with our tax dollars. Now, for any man who's trapped in pornography, he must first realize that the root of the problem is based on a lie by Kinsey and a lie from the enemy of his soul. You need to realize you've been duped. You've been suckered, because ultimately, Kinsey's purpose was to remake man into his image, which really wasn't a pretty one.
Wow, 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 wow. I got a lot of stuff to show you today. I just, here's some reactions from what you just saw.
Yeah, Coach. It's eye-opening for me, too. Even I'm trapped in the porn game, and that, and I didn't, it made me think about my foundational beliefs about my nature, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not sexual by nature, right? I mean, you're not, that's not the most important thing. It's just a thing. It's just a thing. It's just a thing. It's not everything. It's just a thing.
Right, right.
Exactly.
They convinced it, but see, the danger is, or what happened, they convinced Kinsey, and we'll get Judith Reisman on to talk about this. See, Kinsey, when he released the Kinsey report, everybody read it, and they said, well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it, right?
That's the trick.
Everybody's doing it. And it was faulty. It was faulty data. And so that's why, remember, Romans 1, we're talking about Romans 1 here, and what happened to us, the judgment of God, as we dive deeper and deeper and deeper into this stuff, into a never-ending sewer pit, we see where we are today. Now, I want to show somebody else want to come in. I'm sorry, I didn't shut up.
I just want to say, no, it's ridiculous. You know, okay, sex is part of life, right? But it's a minuscule part of life. It's not 24 hours a day.
Oh yeah, but it's a powerful part of it. It's a powerful part of it.
Sex. It's ridiculous, right? So why are you putting so much import upon it? No, it's a minuscule part of your life. It's necessary for procreation and a little bit beyond. But beyond that, you got to live your life.
If you do sex just for pleasure, it's called hedonism.
Right.
And that's why we've turned sex in. That's what the pill turned sex into. That's what Playboy turned sex into. Simply pleasure. Hedonism. See, that word wasn't even there. Jared's got it up there. It wasn't even wasn't any word such as hedonism back in 1828. Jared, let's pull this up real quickly before I forget it. For those of you who would like to do some reading and some research, Jared, click on Reisman's book, and maybe somebody can put this into the chat room over here for her. This is a free online book, Judith Reisman's book. Got it up there yet? I'm sorry, Jared, I pulled a fast one. There it is, Kinsey, and just go down the first page, Jared. It's 368 pages. Kinsey, Crimes and Consequences. This book is unbelievable. Exposing what all Kinsey did, who he did it with, the research behind it, how we were bamboozled or whatever, and we can get that there in the chat. We'll make that available. It's free. Kinsey, hey, Sex Consequences. Yes.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
We, about four of us yesterday, and we're going back again today to East Central High School here in Tulsa, the gospel. And you know what? This is even making me more aware why we have such tremendous pushback when we go to the schools, why they really don't want us there, because that's a complete 100% indoctrination center that they're getting all of our young people buying into this lie. And so that's why, man, you talk about the gates of hell, just like being in an abortion clinic. It's the gates of hell, because that's really where the battle is.
Well, Rich Wallace just texted me. He said, well, Kinsey was doing this in the Bible Belt. Make no mistake about it. Kinsey was impacting the Bible Belt, right? Where was the church? Man. It's always the same. Isn't it always the same? Don't we always fall into the same pattern? Why is it the church, who Jesus said, go into all the world, gospel of Jesus Christ, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Why is the church never out teaching what he commanded? Why are we not doing that? Why has the salt lost its savor, where it's having no impact on the American society as a whole? We really,
because they're being bought. That's why.
Well, they are, Benny. But we're at the point now where that they professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools and they've believed the fake science. Right? Remember, Satan always comes with a little bit of truth. It's always, if it was a bold-faced lie, it'd be easy for us, see? But now we got the scientists all saying it. Look what's going on in our, look at the universities. They are nothing more than institutions of lower living. And I see parents every day, well, once a year, graduate their children and send them off to some hellhole, and the kids are not at all prepared for the sexual assault that's about to come their way. 4 years of living, just living hedonistic sexual lives, and for a young child, an 18-year-old kid, to be able to resist that, that's almost impossible for us to believe that's going to happen. Yet by the scores, the millions and millions of people, parents continue to send their kids off into that environment. What is wrong with us? The Christian schools, Mount Vernon, Nazarene University, give me a break. Otterbein College, Methodist University, give me a break. Ohio Wesleyan University, give me a break. Liberty U, sorry, it's everywhere because the devil has infiltrated while the church has slept. Tell me this, when does the church start infiltration? When does that begin? When does the church begin to infiltrate back into the schools? When do Christian teachers begin to infiltrate and teach their children the truth? When, at what point does that happen? Or do they obey their pastor who tells them, oh, honey, there's a separation between the church and state, and you can't do that. You got to stop doing that, or you're going to lose your job. What am I saying, man?
Amen. Hey, Coach.
Amen.
Coach. Amen. You know what? I'd love to do a show about Leo Frank one of these days, maybe just like a couple of minutes, because think about how pervasive the whole thing was, that this guy thought that he could just blame his murder of a 13-year-old girl, his rape and murder of a 13-year-old girl and two black guys, and get away with it.
You can't get away with it, right? You can't get away with it. Jared, yes. I'm going to send you something here real quick, Jared. I should have did this yesterday. This is from our mutual friend, David Arthur, and let's see, who am I sending this to? David, what's your name? There it is. Jared, I'm going to send this to you, and I want you to show this. David sent this to me yesterday. I watched it last night, and I meant to make this. I'm not done with this Judith Reisman thing. Stay with me, okay? But I got to show you something. When David showed me this, it absolutely blew me away. It's called Baal Peor. Baal Peor.
Hey,
Jared's gonna pull this thing up. It's about a 5-minute video. Go ahead while we're waiting on that to come up.
Yeah, one more note that everyone needs to realize is these universities are funded with what? Our money, right?
Yep.
These are state universities that we're paying the taxes, so we paid for Kinsey to pay a Nazi to rape kids.
Mark. And then take his research and have a school on a university promoting this crap.
On our coin.
Okay, now, listen. Jared, let me do this first. Jared's got that video ready to go. But, Jared, before you go to that video, go back to the stuff that I sent you this morning and pull up. Which one is it? That's not it. Number 3, Judith Reisman's Tables. I want you all to see this before we play it. This is a page 176 in her book. And these are some tables that she's put together. In that book I just showed you. Now look, these are pre-adolescent boys since they're incapable of ejaculation. Now listen to this. This is research. Pre-adolescent boys, since they are incapable of ejaculation, may be as uncertain as some inexperienced females in the recognition of an orgasm. In consequence, the record on such early experience is incomplete in most of the histories, and it is as yet impossible to make any exact calculation. Okay, so here we are, pre-adolescent experience in orgasms. Now ask yourself this, how did they figure this one out? How did they know? Okay, look, 2-month-old baby. Do you see it there? 2 months. They did 2-month-old babies. He didn't reach an orgasm. A 4-month, they did it on 2 of them. They didn't reach orgasm. 5, they're going to follow them up to 1 year. They did 28 of them, 19, up to 1 year, 28 of them were tested. 19 reached orgasm. 19 did not reach. 9 did reach, yada, yada. Then they go to 2 year. Do you understand? Do you understand Kinsey's research doing this on 2-year-olds? Do you get this? And then he took this and created science and created something called what? Sexual behavior in a human male. Not telling you, they're doing it to 2-year-olds.
And there's somebody's grandchildren.
And they want to tear down statues of Robert E. Lee, Thomas Jefferson. Okay, Jared, pull that back. That chart, I'll make this chart available for you too. It's unbelievable. And she talks about it here in her book. But I got to play this because David just sent it to me. This is called Baal Peor. It blew me away. Folks, remember this. The enemy is constantly at work. The dark side is constantly at work, working to infiltrate. When's the last time you heard of the church doing some infiltration? Anybody know of any of that happening? I know Cal Zastro and some of those people go over to China and infiltrate with Bibles. I know that. How about some infiltration right here local? When's the last time we did that? Sit down, watch this one. This is going to shake you as well. Go ahead, Jerry.
And all scripture are for our education and correction. Are we going to listen and learn from those scriptures? Just before Israel was to cross the Jordan into the Promised Land, we read in Numbers how Israel was joined to Baal Peor. Although Balaam could not curse Israel, he did counsel King Balak on how he might get the upper hand over Israel, because Balaam desperately wanted to receive the rewards Balak was offering. This is recounted in the following scripture, Revelation 2:14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. What does eating have to do with fornication? When you understand the rituals involved in this worship of Peor, then you will understand this statement. The worship of Baal Peor involved the most perverted acts between the temple prostitutes and Baal devotees, all done for a profit. The ritual, specifically designed to debase the devotees, involved the exposure of the prostitutes' genitalia and their direct oral exchange of body fluids and waste products. In these rituals, the prostitutes assumed a dominatrix donor role and the men the submissive receptor role. The rituals, in establishing the power of the feminine over the masculine, worked to invert the normative Hebrew social structure from patriarchal to matriarchal, and the arrestment of the development of men in the stage of irresponsible boys instead of maturing them into men of principle. What was the stumbling block that Balaam offered to King Balak? It was the worship of Baal Peor. After Balaam departed from Moab, we see the ramifications of his instruction as Israel joined itself to Baal Peor. Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Numbers 25:1-3. Knowing what the sin of Peor was, is it any wonder that due to the sin of Peor, Israel was judged by a plague that killed 24,000? Look, these women caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord.
Freeze it, Jared.
Numbers 31:16.
For you slow learners, they're talking about oral sex on male, female on female, including the eating of excrement. Are you following this? Keep going, Jared.
Because he taught the enemies of Israel how to ensnare them in this sin, Israel later killed Balaam, Joshua 13:22, who became an object lesson of a false prophet. they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. 2 Peter 2:15. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain and have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Jude 1:11. The Lord himself gives his perspective of the incident of Peor through Hosea in chapter 9 and verse 10. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your forefathers as the earliest fruit of the fig tree in its first season. But they came to Baal Peor and devoted themselves to shame, and they became as detestable as that which they loved. Baal Peor literally means Lord of the open hole. Regardless of the purpose for which God designed the different parts of the body, Baal Peor's devotees relished in using every opening for sexual gratification, and thus he was the god of anal and oral sex. The practice of its perversion involved men, women, and even children and animals. This is what Baal Peor worship is. Anyone can easily see that the worship of Baal Peor exists today, not only in the porn industry, but all across what's called the entertainment industry. We have musicians that sing about the acts of Baal Peor that regularly make it to the top of the popularity charts. There are at least 25 number one songs since 1972 that promote oral and anal sex, songs that your own children have memorized, sometimes without knowing what they mean. So-called artists like this are nothing more than modern-day Baal Peor temple prostitutes who glorify the use of every orifice for lascivious gratification, evoking the audience to worship of Baal Peor.
Wow.
Hey, Coach.
Wow. Right in front of us. Yeah, David.
So this was sent to me by a sister in California because we were talking on the phone about how a lot of people, when you say sodomy, they think it is anal sex and they think it's between a man and a man. But sodomy is just defined in the 1828 as a crime against nature. And then they even take it a little further, which is surprisingly in the newer Merriam-Webster, which says anal or oral copulation with a member of the same sex or opposite sex, also copulation with an animal, because it's a crime against nature. Any unnatural, unfruitful sexual act is sodomy. So the sodomites were not just homosexuals. The sodomites are anybody who is engaging in unfruitful, unnatural sex.
Boy, that'll open your eyes, huh? You don't want to go there, David. We don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Point being this, folks, all this stuff's become normal. And this stuff has all become normal. Why has it become normal? There's no resistance to it. The church is accepting it. The church is welcoming it in. The church is not infiltrating. The church is not pushing back against it. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. The salt has lost its savor. The problems in America are not the sodomites. They're not the pedophilia. The problem in America is the church who's permitted it and not spoken out against it and accepted it and tolerated it and brought it into the sanctuary.
Because the church is engaging in it, Coach.
Because the church is engaging in it.
Amen.
Then the church wanted it.
Well, the church accepted it because why? Kinsey, I hate to go back there, Kinsey told us everybody's doing it. Now, as we get it, well, I'm going to pick this up tomorrow as well. I got all kinds of stuff on Kinsey. You want to get your toes curled? You go read that book, 368 pages from Judith Reisman. You read that book, and you're going to say, "Are you kidding me?" And see, with all this phony science, this sexual revolution was launched, right? And here we are today with this potpourri of sexual behaviors, We can't even come up with enough initials to be able to do it. And who's teaching it? Our schools are teaching it, and our churches are accepting it.
Hey, and, Coach. Right, yeah, in the middle of the geographic Bible Belt, St. Louis, Missouri, Johnson and Masters just doubled down on it.
Masters, yep, Masters and Johnson. Dr. Spock, he was all part of it. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for doing this show today. I got a school board meeting Monday night at 6 o'clock, and I'm going. I don't know if anybody's going or not, but I am. And could you do maybe one day a week of a little bit of this to try and encourage other men in other cities, just start picking up school board meeting here and there? Because you got enough listeners. We just start going to the school board meetings.
Amen.
Yeah, what we need to do is we need to go there with information. We need to come up with a flyer, put together a flyer, and hand it out when we go. But see, ultimately, what's going to happen? I'm not discouraging you, Jeff. Ultimately, what's going to happen? You're going to do this 3 or 4 times, and then there's going to be an uproar, and then the pastors are going to come in and tell you how awful you are. This is not the place to do it, Jeff. This isn't the place to do it.
They've already done that, so I'm ready to go back.
Right? Ultimately, who's the problem? Israel's watchmen are blind. Our leadership is blind. Our leadership is cowardly. Our leadership, I'm talking about me. I ought to be at the freaking school board knocking down the door. I ought to be out there this morning trying to rescue those children. What is wrong with us, fellas? What's wrong?
I'm at least going in Monday night, and I'm going to warn them. I'm back, and I'm not going away this time, and I am going to be a thorn in their side.
Amen.
So, Jeff, take something with them that you're going to be able to hand out to all of them, everybody in attendance. Just do that. Right. Listen, you're not there to convince them. You're there to warn them. You're not there to try to win them over. You're there to warn them and give them warning and wake up others. Somebody else. Come on, man. We got
– Okay, Dave, I just wanted to say, everybody, that Glenn Claremont and company went to AT&T Stadium last night at the Jay-Z and Beyonce concert, and they raised up a standard for Jesus out there.
How about so, that?
Good guys.
Applaud them. Yeah, they did a great job.
I wouldn't throw in another name.
Way to go. And, I'm just so honored that we're getting guys moving and doing stuff. George was out yesterday. Rob Hughes up there. Stuff's going on, right? Stuff's going on. I am telling you, if you guys will hear me, we have some plans here at Coach Dave Live, and it's going to take some money to do it. And I'm just telling you, if everybody watching, just put us on your cable bill. Give us $20 a month. Everybody, $20 a month. What if there are 5,000 people watching? Do the math on that. Look how we can begin to fight back. Look what George Soros and the left is doing. We ask ourselves, who's funding that? Who's funding that? Well, who's funding our army? We're trying to put an army out on the field. We can't even send them some canned heat. They called them when I was a kid. We can't even send them some rations. They say, oh, yeah, well, you go fight that. And by the way, make sure you spend your own money to get there. No. That's not the way this army is going to be able to operate, folks. And if we're serious about $20 a month, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Easy. Baby. Help us win. Help us win here, will ya? We got some good plans ahead of us.
Dave, maybe we need to get Sarah McLaughlin on here with some puppy dog looking people, you know, ESPCA or whatever on here. 18 cents a day.
Amen. Amen. I got so much. I got one 2-minute one. Hey Jared, play. Let's go out on this one, Jared. Let's play labeled number 4. The Kinsey scale. Look what's circulating today. This is the Kinsey. This is a 2-minute video, the Kinsey scale, and how they're using that. Minute 14. What is the Kinsey scale? Used in schools today. It'll be 17,000 people about their behavior. There you are. There's the Kinsey scale trying to teach the young kids. Are you heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual? We live in a wicked, wicked world. And it's going to remain so until those of us who carry the name of Christ raise up a resistance against it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.